Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Bucks tonight, game two, getting ready to take on the Orlando Magic down in the bubble. They have not looked good since getting to the bubble. To talk more about it, our good friend Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com. Steve, what we witnessed, I'm not going to say stunned, but the fact that they look a step slower than Orlando, their defense and their weak side defense was not good. It seems like there's a little bit of a pattern where teams are driving and then kicking it back out and hitting a lot of threes. And if you hit threes against the Bucks, you're going to beat them. And that seems to be the theme right now.
Well, yeah, hi, Bill. It's a, it's coach ease, I guess, to use the lingo. You say, well, you got to take what they give you. And the Bucks notoriously give, in essence, 3-point shots. I mean, it's not entirely a, go ahead, we dare you. Kind of an attitude, but if they're going to give up anything, that's what they give up. They pack the paint, and they, Brook Lopez has gotten a lot of mileage and a lot of praise, frankly, for his defensive outcomes by dropping, back in the pick and roll stuff. And so then guys get better looks than maybe they do against some other teams that aren't as conscientious down low. And, you get a team that starts making those shots, you might have a problem on your hands, and that's what happened in part, I think, to the Bucks in Game 1.
So what do you look for? Is there adjustments in Game 2? Or, we had Kenny Smith on yesterday who said, hey, he wouldn't do a whole lot, only for the fact that, the Bucks didn't have to really adjust or alter a lot of their shots because of what the Orlando Magic did to them. He said it's just they just missed. They just didn't play their game. So you kind of come out in game two with the same game plan. You just try to play your game, though. Do you think there's going to be a lot of adjustments, or do they just need to play their game?
Well, strategically, I don't imagine that there'll be a ton of adjustments. I think that they probably figure between missing shots that they often make and playing harder. I mean, that was the number one theme, and you get that a lot. I mean, the Lakers were getting it. The Clippers, after last night's loss to Dallas, whenever a lower seed beats a higher seeded team, you get that, well, did you take them seriously enough? Did you play as hard as you should have? Did you feel a sense of urgency? And those are so internal. I'm not even really comfortable spending a lot of time, criticizing that. I do think in Milwaukee's case, though, and if this was, boy, they really kicked away the opening game of the playoffs. That's one thing. But there's a pattern here. This has been going on. They're 4-10 since, the 2nd of March, if you go back. Now, I know that straddles a very big layoff, but it seems as if some, something was leaking away back then, and they have not been able to find it, since they've been down in the bubble. And so I think that is a concern, and that's entirely of their own doing. I mean, Orlando, they'll play better now, I think, because they've gotten confidence. They won their opener in the playoffs last year, beating Toronto in the first game of round one, and then they got swept. And so I think they have their guard up. They learned, some lessons from that. And it's the Bucks' own fault that, the Magic, might be feeling a little bit high on themselves right now and play better. But I think this is largely a matter of what's going on with the Bucks, and do they – you can't be lack of confidence, and they're not lazy, and they certainly can be presumed to have a fire for, the NBA Finals. So, what is it? Do they feel like they have the answers when teams kind of neutralize Giannis in stretches? You know, maybe they do, maybe they don't. You know, how they feel about that. And I think, I mean, what I would like to see is, frankly, I'd like to see Giannis and even like Chris Middleton, and assuming he's playing well, Eric Bledsoe, play longer minutes. I think the rotation, as valuable as depth has been to Milwaukee this season and last season, I just think you gotta go with your main guys and make sure that they're where they need to be, not just in conditioning, but just in the production. And you know, they're not being pushed minutes wise. And if you're not going to dominate a team and sit down in the fourth quarter, I think you need to play longer minutes.
We saw Portland get a win. Obviously, the Clippers have fallen. The Bucks have fallen. Is this partly due in part to maybe the byproduct of not having home court advantage, that you're seeing these neutral sites not really benefit one or the other?
I think there's something to that. You know, there is a reason that teams play hard through 82 games that, you know, might not seem all that vital, but you know that at the end of that, you're going to be rewarded. And the team that does the best gets the greatest reward, where you get to be home most often through every round of the playoffs. And that's what the Bucks, you know, had accomplished last year. And that's what they, you know, accomplished this year, except there was no home court to be had. I'm not in the bubble. You know, I see it. I see the two-dimensional faces, and I hear the piped-in noise, and I don't think that can, you know, come close to replicating what it's like to be in an NBA arena for a playoff game. You know, it might sort of be a fine distraction or an accessory for those of us viewing on television now, but it's not the home court. I think there's other bubble aspects to this. You're not traveling. Anything that you might have developed for your team as an advantage, many of those have been stripped away because, okay, if you were a team that traveled really well, and if you're a team that maybe had better chemistry or camaraderie than others, and the Bucks have been all about that for 2 years because they go out to dine together, they, you know, they hang out, other teams might go separate ways. Well, you're all thrown in together now, and you're going to end up dining with your teammates whether you would have chosen to or not. If you traveled well and, you know, had great plane rides and card games or whatever, you know, well, that's gone now. You're not traveling. I just think that some of these things it's different. It's different enough that, you know, certainly home court is the biggest thing. That's what the Bucks had coming their way, and it's gone. But some of these other intangibles, I think, have changed. And, you know, not to make excuses because it's the same for everyone. But, you know, they might have had that on their side and, you know, be able to fire back. On the other hand, Orlando right now would be feeling, hey, they're playing with house money, right? They won a game in Milwaukee, and now they can play free and easy in game two. And, you know, so home court flips, and then all of a sudden your advantage becomes a disadvantage. So at least the Bucks haven't put themselves in that pickle.
You're right about Orlando. They got the first win last year against the then Toronto Raptors. You know, you wonder how much you learned from that. The Bucks last year got off to a fast start and then faltered, and then you wonder what you know Orlando's going to be able to do with getting that first victory and saying, okay, don't get too high on yourself. And they're still going to be without Mo Bamba. They're still going to be out without Jonathan Isaac. I mean, those guys are going to be out for the remainder of the postseason. So you talk about a team that got scrappy and just got it done and figured some things out. As much as you don't want to say it's a stunner for Milwaukee, it's really impressive for Orlando.
Yeah, they did a good job. I mean, Aaron Gordon and Michael Carter-Williams also were out. As I understand it, Gordon is questionable for today's game, and Carter-Williams is doubtful. You know, I guess the Magic will know more later. But, you know, they I guess they're playing the closest to a home court advantage. I mean, not that they would know it. They don't get to leave. Their people don't get to come in, and it's not the building where they normally play down there. But at least maybe they're used to the climate and the time zone. But no, they did fine. And frankly, you know, they've got an asset in Nikola Vucevic that you know can be a problem for Milwaukee because he's dangerous inside and out. He can play traditional sort of low post, a big man's game, or he you know can take his rival outside. And if Brooke Lopez isn't going outside just out of, you know, routine for Milwaukee's defense, then Vucevic is going to get better looks. He is, he essentially topped Giannis's numbers in game one. So if he can cancel out Giannis Antetokounmpo in the series, all of a sudden, other guys really do need to step up. And if there's any problem finding a sense of urgency for this series, it ought to be there. I mean, I'm a little tired of reading and even writing the no. Chris Middleton is a solid guy to ride shotgun to Giannis, and he's fine as the second best player on a championship caliber team. I mean, you get those stories, you hear that stuff often, and they're defenses of Middleton, but he can speak louder than any of the people in the media, allies or critics, by coming out and having a better game than he had in game one, and particularly now in game two.
Right. No, I completely agree with you. I think Middleton needs to play better. Some of their role players weren't shooting the ball extremely well. And Giannis didn't score for the last 11 minutes of the game. For as good a numbers as he put up, I mean, he didn't really do a lot down the stretch to help this team, specifically when they got it to within, a point. So, I completely agree with you. I think this whole team needs to, I hate to say wake up because it's so cliche, but for lack of a better term, the whole team needs to kind of wake up and just come out stronger in this ball game. Always great to talk to you, Steve.
Go ahead. Look for real quick, just my parting thought here is when they talk about we need to be aggressive, I don't want that to be Giannis. I don't want him to pick up too early offensive fouls. It's got to come from somebody else. And even if it means whistles, knocking somebody over and getting called for it, let it be somebody besides Giannis, because if he has to be their urgency and all their talent and production, that's not going to get them anywhere.
Yep, no doubt. Good stuff, Steve. Certainly appreciate it, okay?
You got it, Bill.
Talk to you later, pal. There you go. Steve Ashburner with NBA.com, the senior writer there, and giving you a lowdown. He's like, look, I'm tired of defending Chris Middleton. The only way Chris Middleton's going to get defended is if he comes out and plays well consistently in the postseason. It's basically it in a thumbnail version. So that's it. Steve joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.